Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner, and it is now time for the City Paper because we're doing a little earlier today. We have a special block coming up after this as we look at DOJ report and disabilities. On our way to our City Paper conversation, let me remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to testing, you can learn more about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org. Or at SteinerShow.org is the Maryland State Education Association's banner. We're now about to talk about the City Paper. And today we're going to talk to Fred Sharman, who's assistant professor of architecture here at Morgan State University, who wrote the cover story for this week's paper called A Look at How McKeldin Plaza Came to Be and the Plans to Undo It All. And Fred, welcome. Good to see you again. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
So let's talk about this. McKeldin Plaza. Give us a bit of history.
Mm-hmm. Well, McKeldin Plaza is kind of the remnant of a bunch of concerns that came up when folks were first master planning the Inner Harbor. And that's a process.
Early 60s.
1964 was the first version of the Inner Harbor Master Plan.
It was still a rotting dock.
It was on its way to being less rotting. Yeah, yeah. But it was off the map kind of just culturally in Baltimore.
Right.
The waterfront was an industrial place before this. And some people saw some other possibilities down there.
So talk about you talk in the article about the man who kind of planned this McKeldin Plaza out and why, and traffic flow, which is probably near and dear to an architect's heart, thinking mm-hmm. about how we should be doing things.
Well, I was fortunate to talk quite a lot with Al Kopp, who he wasn't the planner, but he was more the client. He was vice president of Charles Center Inner Harbor Management Incorporated, which was the nonprofit group charged with overseeing the refinement and implementation of this master plan.
Kind of the precursor to the Baltimore Development Corporation,
that's
the BDC.
Right. Yeah, so Al had to deal with a lot of issues, right? I mean, this is a tangled site. And one of the issues that was of primary concern that period was traffic. The activists and politicians had just finally started to win the fight to keep these elevated expressways out of the harbor and out of much of Baltimore City.
Right. So,
but the cars weren't going to go anywhere. The cars were still coming in, and they had to go somewhere. So that created the situation that we see on the ground with Light Street, Conway Street becoming the feeders from 95. That would have been an elevated highway, but they talked the planners into keeping those cars on the ground to sort of not cut off the harbor from the rest of the city.
So what is it? So why is this so important that we're leading with McKeldin Square? Why are you so interested in? Let me take a step back before I ask that question. Many people might not know where it is. Exactly where is McKeldin Square?
Yeah, it's McKeldin Plaza or McKeldin Square is the kind of triangle that's in between the northbound and southbound lanes of Light Street, right there in the Inner Harbor. And it was until recently connected to downtown through a set of sky bridges. And those are now gone, but it's kind of a traffic island. And the creation of the fountain there, the McKeldin Fountain, was an attempt to alleviate all the bad stuff that is associated with being stuck on a traffic island while you're waiting across the street.
And let me add before we jump into why this is so important to you and why you want to write this article, is that it was named after Theodore McKeldin.
That's right.
Who was mayor of the city of Baltimore, the last Republican mayor, mm-hmm. when Republicans were actually still liberals and progressives.
That's right.
Who believed in kind of ending segregation, fought that, and was an interesting guy.
Really interesting person.
A really interesting way of speaking. And grew up not far from what the Inner Harbor is now, in a very poor neighborhood,
right.
though you wouldn't know it from how he spoke. Mm-hmm. So why is it important? Why did you even want to look at this?
Well, I became interested in it as somebody whose field is architecture, as an example of architecture. It's got some really interesting spatial and geometric and material things going on. It's an example of brutalism, which is a style of architecture that focuses
brutalism?
On kind of brutalism, right? Which originally sounds bad, right? It originally was meant to connote the rough concrete surface of some of this stuff.
Well, folks, do read this article. I mean, I read it. I love the article a lot. There's a lot happening in the City Paper about Sandtown, poetry winners, protest short films, Kendrick Lamar, all kinds of really cool stuff. Check it out. City Paper, pop it out of the box. I want to thank you for coming in, Fred. Great to see you.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Fred Sharman, assistant professor at the Morgan State University School of Architecture, who wrote the piece called Look at How McKeldin Square Plaza Came to Be and Plans to Undo It. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to look once again at the DOJ report from the perspective of people with disabilities. Stay with us.